Thank you, as always, to Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon and Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa for their presenting sponsorship of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. The red carpet sales event continues at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa. Walk the red carpet for huge savings from General Manager Brian Danahy. Get a 2018 XT5 for only $359 a month, zero down, plus save up to $16,000 off all remaining 2017s or 0% financing for up to 72 months. Only at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. Click EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com and, of course, see the dealer for all the details. And in Brandon, our friends at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, you can save now on a luxurious Cadillac and get more peace of mind with their like-new certified pre-owned Cadillacs. All certified pre-owned Cadillacs are inspected, reconditioned, and warrantied. Right now, get special financing and pay thousands less than new car prices. Visit EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. And, of course, there are fantastic lease offers right there at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon on Causeway Boulevard. Thank you again, Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, happy Thursday on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, a very special podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper's here. The threesome is in full swing. Ira Kaufman, sage of Tampa Bay sports. We're actually recording. Thank you to Leroy Selman's in Tampa, giving us some special room for our special guest in this fantastic podcast. Ira, as anybody who's read the headline of the podcast knows, DeMar Dotson joins us for the podcast in what is going to be a tremendous, telling interview. We recorded
wide-ranging.
We recorded it yesterday, and it is, wow, so some exciting stuff. I don't want to give away too much.
Steve, the guy is known for speaking his mind, Dotson. That's why he's a go-to guy for everybody in the Tampa Bay media. He didn't pull any punches, Steve. Wide-ranging, answered every question we had, and we had plenty. We got so much stuff that we're going to carry it over into multiple segments, but the first one's a doozy. You know, Lee, regardless of how highly rated our podcast is, and we appreciate all the comments, I think this is going to take it to another level when Buck fans listen to what DeMar Dotson has to say about the current state of the Bucks. Fantastic. Absolutely.
Oh,
fantastic.
Current state of the Bucks, stuff we never, you know, inside locker room stuff, relationship with coaches.
Winston.
Yeah.
You know,
Doug Martin. Baker. Great interview. I'm glad. I'm proud to say it's coming up soon in this podcast. So don't fast forward. Don't even think of touching that button. We got plenty to talk about. Plenty has been happening.
First, we got a couple of Buck issues to discuss, right, Steven?
Well, we've got some stuff on the table. So, Ira, we'll go right to your sage wisdom. Historic day. We'll start with Doug Martin first. Doug Martin gets cut. The guy's been here six seasons. Historic move for a guy who was historically awful the last 2 years. What say you?
You know, Lee, I guess it's kind of coincidental. On our last podcast, our previous podcast, towards the end, I threw out the question to you and Steve. Hey, when are the Bucks going to start doing these things? Cutting Baker, cutting Martin. 3 hours later, boom, it's done. Look, Lee, I'm going to throw this right out to you, Mr. DeKemper. You're a teacher. In another life, you would have been a high school math teacher.
Well, I almost became a high school history teacher, but okay.
All right, Lee, I'm going to throw this out. And I almost put it in my Doug Martin column on Wednesday. Which I wrote about his legacy. How's he going to be remembered in Tampa? I almost put this in, but I'm going to throw it out to you, Lee. I'll give mine first, and then I'll go to you. 6 years of Doug Martin. Six seasons. The Bucks traded up to get back at the end of the first round in 2012. Made a trade. I think they swapped fourth-round picks with Denver. No big deal. Got back, and then this one's on Mark Domenech. He did it, and he got Doug Martin. A grade for Doug Martin's six-year tenure in Tampa. I'm going to give you mine. Certainly, nobody's going to call Doug Martin a bust. That would be ridiculous. My grade, B minus. B minus. And I say that because when he was good, he was fabulous. But it's only 2 years out of six. Am I grading on a curve, Lee, or is that fair?
For some reason, I thought you were going to give him an A minus. But you're not too far away from me.
B minus.
I say C minus. He had two fantastic years, but two out of six doesn't cut it. That's why he's not here. And Scott Kaxmar, Football Outsiders, put this out on Twitter the night Martin was cut. And I get no joy. People think I enjoy ragging on Doug Martin's not production. I get no joy out of it. I got along with him personally, got along with him professionally. My only issue with Doug Martin was production. That's all I give a damn about. I don't care how nice of a guy he is. Altron Werner was one of my favorite Bucks players ever. Great guy. Sucked as a player. I'm sorry. I got to, you know, separate the person from the player. That's why I was so rough on Doug Martin. Scott Kaxmere, Football Outsiders, had this the night Martin was released. The last time a player with 125 touches each season rushed for less than 3 yards a carry on average was 1940. Martin's done. We all saw last
and
year.
And he did
he
it 2
done.
Years in a row.
The well, that's what I mean. 2 years
in a row. That
years.
Was the stat. Two yeah. years in a row.
Two years in a row.
Last 1940.
Time, 1940.
I wasn't even covering the league back then.
And I mean, you were just getting out of high school.
As much as I respect Dirk Cutter, if I was the Glazers, that's a hell of a question to answer. How come everybody could see this, but you couldn't?
Who the hell comes up with a stat like that, Steve?
You.
That, I mean, better, that's better than my research.
That's the kind of stuff you do, Ira.
Wow, 1940.
I will maintain, and I don't think Steve's opinion differs a whole lot from me. I will maintain the biggest problem with the Bucks as a team, not just offense, as a team last year, wasn't Jameis's bum wing, but that was bad. It was the one-dimensional offense. And why was it one-dimensional? Cutter week after week after week after week, trotted Martin out there, gave him 10, 15 more touches a game, expecting Doug Martin to be the rookie. And when everybody could see it, why did Cutter keep going to that well? Now, maybe at the time, the season was lost, so it's like, what the hell? I respect Cutter. I advocated bringing Cutter back, so it's not like I'm anti-Cutter. But that's a hell of a question to answer. Why did you keep putting the ball in this guy's hands?
Steve, I want to say this.
B minus.
B minus.
B minus.
I'm C minus.
We'll get to you in a sec. Steve, I don't think this is conjecture. I feel strongly about this. Doug Martin's contract season, he went crazy. He had a season like he did in 2012. And it was a record-breaking offense. That's not a coincidence. They had great balance that year. Cutter was the coordinator. Steve, I think it's fair to say, and I'm going to just go out and say it. The last 2 years, covering 280 carries, that's a big number. You can't help but think that Doug Martin's personal issues were the main driving force between him for him averaging 2.9 yards a carry. I'm sorry. You can talk about a blocking all you want. You can talk about this all you want. Doug Martin did it to himself, Steve. He wasn't the same player, and he's going to have to answer for that. It's Doug Martin.
We hear you, Ira. We respect your take. You're the sage of Tampa Bay sports, and it may be a wise
take. He had personal issues.
History,
that's well documented, yeah.
History may show that. B minus, let me start there. I think that's too generous. I really do. But I don't think it's too out of line. I really don't think it's too out of line. I'm going to give Martin a C plus, and I'll tell you why. This past year, so he put in 6 years in Tampa. This past year, it's not his fault that he was on the roster and sucked. He didn't belong here, so I'm not going to hold that against him. He didn't even belong here on the team, so I wiped that out. I'm being generous. Now, two phenomenal.
What a pass you're giving him over there, Steve.
Well, he didn't belong on the team. It's not his fault.
You're going to give me a pass for a bad podcast like that?
He's collecting a paycheck.
All right.
So, bad teammate, sure. He got suspended, screwed his team when they needed him most.
Let him down
and screwed things up. And he had some past historic things. Remember, Steve Dumig was on the air, Buccaneers flagship station, talking about Doug Martin and having a Molly problem, a drug problem, a serious issue. And not one person from Martin's camp or the Buccaneers.
Was that before or after he was suspended that Dumig was talking
He went
about?
Public after it was suspended.
He went public okay. after he was suspended, okay. saying that it was a problem in past years. And you know what? The Glazers and the Bucks never called WDAE.
Demanded an apology.
That we learned and demanded an apology. Dumig didn't get suspended. Nobody said boo.
No, it wasn't even corrected off the record by a text.
We wrote it up in detail with the audio on JoeBucksFan.com. And you know what? Nobody from the Bucks said a boo to us that was out of line.
So let the listeners decide
so
for themselves.
Let the listeners put two and two together
and so
there.
So the listeners know if Steve or I or even you, Ira, have something that's outrageously wrong or more specific, puts a player in a bad light that's inaccurate, we hear real quick.
And to give fans a little bit of insight, Doug Martin's mother, who used to be a huge Joe Bucks fan, she did block us on Twitter and didn't take kindly to that. And she was kind enough to speak to our photographer out in Hawaii at the Pro Bowl a couple years ago. That was before that. But so sorry, Miss Doug Martin's mom. We saw you on Hard Knocks. It was good to see you again. Anyway.
We wish him no ill will.
The guy had two phenomenal seasons. Phenomenal seasons. I mean, we're talking about 1,400 plus yards. Amazing rookie campaign and the whole deal. But, he was well-liked by the Bucks. This was a guy who was put on the stadium facade. And then they tore him down before 2017. But he's gone, and it's a bad history. But I think it's a happy time now because I think Bucks fans realize that, finally everybody realizes this team would have been better if Martin just wasn't there last year.
And, running game is going to improve.
And Lee, while we can't say that that Cutter's loyalty to Martin was a primary reason the Bucks went 5-11, it didn't help, Lee. It didn't help.
Obviously not. And I have a habit of saying this, and some of our listeners and some of our readers compliment me for this. When a guy buying $9 warm Miller Lights can see it, when us guys feeding our faces in the press box can see it, when Joe Sixpack on his 12-year-old lazy boy with various stains on it, I'm not going to go there with the stains. When they can see it, why can't the head coach?
You know what the funny part is, Steve?
The stains. That was pretty funny.
Martin's first game back was a good one against New England. He was effective in that game. I think he had 18 carries, 75 yards.
Yes, he had one
it
good game back.
It was effectively.
Yeah,
okay.
He had a good game.
And guys, look, I'm not trying to do revisionist history here because I said it, and it was one of the worst predictions of the year 2017 by anybody. Ira Kaufman, I'm owning it. But after that New England game, which they didn't play terribly, but it was a game they could have won, New England was not playing good football at the time, you know, in the first quarter of that season. And so then they had 10 days to prepare for Arizona, and then I issued my famous proclamation on this podcast. I smell a 5-game winning streak. Now, part of that, Lee, was because Doug Martin looked pretty good in the New England game. Mm-hmm. And I figured going forward, hey, they're going to have a running game, and we know what they can do with a running game, you know, with the play action. And it all fell apart. Yep. It absolutely all fell apart. And Martin was never the same after that game. He was terrible.
He never was, no. And I'm gonna try to be fair with Doug about what I'm going to say. The evidence of NFL running backs closer to get to 30 is damning. Isn't Martin about to turn 29?
I think he's 29.
He's 29 now, yep.
Yeah, 29. So, I mean, Father Time has a factor here as well. I know you mentioned earlier that the personal issues had to be a factor, and there's no question about that, but I don't think we should discount the fact that, you know, he's getting older.
Somebody's going to take a chance on Doug Martin, Steve. Somebody will
sure,
pick him up.
Sure. Somebody will put him in camp and give him a veteran minimum thing with some incentives. And, yeah, I don't think he's going to make a roster. I personally believe he'll be out of the NFL, but I think somebody will give him a chance. Going back to that New England game, he averaged like 5.5 yards a carry. He looked great. At the time, New England's per yards average against the run was the worst in the league.
They were getting gouged. Yeah,
And they finished worst in the NFL against the run.
Yes.
Yards per carry,
yes.
New England. So, I mean, we were never swayed by that one game, and Martin predictably screwed up. But I want to ask you this, Ira, just because your former colleague, Roy Cummings, made this statement on local radio this week, and I almost drove off the road. I ended up in a ditch. But AAA helped me out just like they helped you out.
That's right.
And Roy Cummings blamed the hurricane on some of Doug Martin's troubles, as well as that by default of the 4 weeks off that he had before he was able to return instead of 3 weeks off because of the hurricane delay. And that really, Martin wasn't ready to train properly for that, and that was a big factor in this. Do you buy any of that?
Come on. I mean, how desperate can you be for your grasping at straws over there? And I mean short straws. There's nobody to blame here except Doug Martin.
Irma? No Irma?
No Irma. Irma. Unless Irma's the name of some girl at a strip club. There's nobody to blame, Lee. There's nobody to blame.
Nobody's been named Irma at a strip club since 1953.
So in other words, Ira, when I watch live PD at some point when they go to a clothing optional establishment in Pasco County, and another guy tries to pass off counterfeit 20s to a stripper, that maybe her name is Irma is what you're saying?
You know, well, let's not try to read into too much of this Doug Martin thing. He lost his burst. He wasn't the same player,
well,
Lee.
And that's an aging running back. He has no burst. I had no idea you were going to bring that up about the hurricane thing, but since you did, you know, Steve and Ira, you listen to Sirius all the time too, but not the same things we listen to. You listen to the Blues Channel, which I do. You listen to Russo, which I do. But I also take a chunk of my time to listen to
Deep Tracks. I'm into
that same thing, same here, yeah. But I will stick a chunk of my time to make sure I listen to Pat Kerwin, and Steve's addicted to NFL radio more so than I am, which is saying a lot. Yesterday, a Bucks fan called up talking about the past season. And he mentioned something like, well, I know the hurricane messed him up. Kerwin shot back. Now, mind you, Kerwin used to be a scout for the Bucks.
That the hurricane messed up the Bucks, not
yes,
Doug Martin.
Yes, yeah. He mentioned the Bucks, so in general, the Bucks. Kerwin used to be a Bucks scout. Kerwin used to be a linebackers coach with the Jets. Kerwin used to be a pro personnel player director with the Jets. He immediately shot back a one-word answer. Nonsense.
Nonsense.
Yeah, and it is nonsense. And so the chapter ends.
The Bucks opened up the season in grand style. If they were so shook up by the hurricane, I can't they kicked the hell out of the Bears.
Let's not waste the good listeners' time. All right, come on. Hurricane Irma caused Doug Martin to be the worst running back since 1940? Come on. All right. Two pieces of business, Ira. Two quick pieces of business. First, the commish's draft party. Big announcement on Bucks Uncensored.
It's a big deal.
Big announcement, Bucks Uncensored, the annual amazing blowout draft party, which we're going to be fully behind this year, not just a little bit behind last year like we were last year.
Drum roll.
Now, there's no drum roll. His announcement is coming February 28th. So you want to tune into Bucks Uncensored February 28th to get all the details. After that, we will have...
Well, last year was amazing. And if you're saying this year is going to be even better... I can't wait to get
there. Yeah, this year is going to be a madhouse, and all the location and the details will be rolled out.
Lee, they were giving out Buck haircuts.
That's right. Well, I didn't know they were giving them out.
I'm sure that feature will be reinstated.
And that's coming back. I'm pretty sure that'll be coming back. Headlines Barbershop, our good friend Christian, he's always listening to the podcast.
Unbelievable.
You may have to get your haircut over there, Ira.
Javier's already on record saying he's showing up.
Javier is coming in, and of course, like last year, it'll be a 2-day event. You only went to the first night after the shots.
And just to be clear, he's coming in from Panama City, Panama.
I know you can't go back-to-back with the shots, Ira, but that's fine. And the other piece of business is I spoke with the folks at Fan Retreat, fanretreat.com. Now, we remember Hurricane Irma did screw up your big event in Miami. You were going to be...
That was going to be a hell of a success.
It was a hell of a night. All these people confirmed or whatever. Anyway, we're definitely doing it again. And those details are going to come out as soon as the schedule is released.
And it's probably going to be the first road game, Steve?
It depends where it is. Okay. It depends where it is. But good chance it'll be the first road game and the second road game. And we're going to get you back out on the road, Ira. Meeting with the people.
I got to get that speech out of my pocket
again.
Yeah,
dig up your speech. There you go.
Speech.
All right, so now let's head over to Chris Baker. He's the other guy who got cut.
Do we really have to talk about Swaggy?
On Swaggy? What do we need to know? What did we learn from the Swaggy Baker experience?
All right, Lee, you know me. You've worked with me now for a year and a half. You know me even better than you did before. I think it's fair to say I don't make a habit of blowing my own horn. I don't. I think I try to stay in the shadows a little bit. I just owned up to making the worst prediction since somebody said, Donald Trump has no chance to win the election. I mean, it's right up there. But I am going to say this, Lee. I am going to say this, and I know you two guys are going to have to chime in and say, you're right, Ira. Nobody, and I mean nobody, including everybody in the Buck organization, nobody was on to Chris Baker quicker than I was.
No, you were on to him.
Nobody.
The ink was not dry on his contract. You were on to him.
2 weeks after they signed him, and Steve was right there with me.
You survived his driving in Arizona.
I found out, good player doesn't like to practice. Now I'm questioning the first part of the statement. I didn't see that he was a good player, but I assume that he was a good player in Washington. But the quote was, good player doesn't like to practice. And from that moment on, Lee, we kept a close eye on Chris Baker in OTAs, training camp, hard knocks, and everything turned out to be true. Oh. And he wasn't even that good a player.
Worse than you imagine. And all of us, I was talking to...
Those work habits don't cut it anymore, Lee.
No,
they don't cut it.
I mean, the best players work all the time. They don't slog through a season. It was pretty bad on Hard Knocks when the rookies, who generally aren't outspoken, they kind of keep to themselves. When they went after a veteran like him for being lazy, that spoke volumes. But I was talking with, I'll just say, a heavy hitter with the Bucks back in East-West Shrine practices. And I was talking to him before one of those practices, and I told the guy, when I saw that tree incident on Hard Knocks with Swaggy Baker, I literally did a facepalm. Like, oh, no, what are you bringing in?
Steve, I didn't even like the segment where he was ridiculing the field goal kickers.
Heckling
in the
kickers?
I didn't like that.
Well, I didn't mind the palm tree thing. I just thought the guy's horsing around. To me, it didn't bug me at all. But the kicking thing, the heckling Nick Folk, I wrote it up on the site. I thought that was deplorable. It was only because it was something the leadership of this team, Jameis, Kwan, if we consider
alleged
them.
Alleged leadership.
The attempted leadership of this team, McCoy, those are all three things that those guys would never do, and not in their DNA.
You're supposed to be rooting for those guys to be successful.
Not in their DNA to be right up in a guy ripping them like that. And you know what? Sure, that happens in football practice and other places, but that's not relevant. What relevant is, that's not what the leaders on this team were supposed to be about. And here's this new guy coming in doing that. I mean,
he hadn't made his first tackle yet.
Yeah, when I was watching Hard Knocks, the stuff that Steve is citing about heckling the field goal kickers, I just thought to myself at the time, like, this guy is the antithesis of Jameis.
Yeah, anti-Jameis, yep.
So why can't Buck Braintrust figure this out and understand that before you give the man his money? Why can't you figure that out?
It was a colossal screw-up by really a veteran regime, right? That was Jason Light's fourth year at the free agency game, and he's got guys on his staff for a while. So it was a really bad whiff.
It proves Light's statement, which is a very true statement, Lee. I think he said it to you. Most mistakes in free agency are made from the shoulders up.
And he went against his creed.
Yeah,
he went against his creed.
Light's actually said that about the draft, but it holds true in free agency too. And especially when you look at Dontari Poe was out there. What did he do? Who's the other guy I'm thinking of? I can't think of whoever it was, but you had defensive tackles that were out there that performed very well. And here we are.
And what's Clinton McDonald supposed to think in the first month of that season when it's clear, or even a training camp, Lee, when it becomes clear that Baker's going to start ahead of him, and McDonald's like, I'm busting my butt out here.
And McDonald had one of his better seasons.
And Steve, shouldn't it be a meritocracy? That's your word for the day over there.
That's a good one.
Don't we hear that about the NFL? It's the work you put in and the tape you put down. And McDonald knew he had no chance to start. Steve.
Meritocracy, we hear that about this podcast. You're the sage, right? You got the merit.
But you know what I mean, Lee.
Sure.
And that infiltrates the whole team.
Yeah, it's a cancerous situation.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Steve's brought this up both in an article and podcast before. Why did it take the so-called leadership of the Bucks? And you can name the players we're talking about. They're such leaders that we're being told about all the time. Why did it take to week 16 for someone to corral Baker?
That's not a good look for the organization.
And now, folks, this is something we did not shy away from talking to DeMar Dotson about. And I'm pretty sure it's in this segment coming up. I think, yeah, it is. It definitely is in this segment
Very
coming
incisive
up.
Incisive comments.
Insightful, incisive, great stuff from Dotson.
You know what? I'll say this about Baker and about Martin. I honestly believed those guys would still be with the team. And the reason why I say that is, as we all know, Dirk Cutter's so loyal, even though everybody, including me, everybody and their brother, thought Martin was done, I still suspected him to be at OTAs because Cutter is that loyal. I really did. That's one. With Baker, I wondered, and this may have been a factor, while we're taping this, we're going to speak with Brenston Buckner a little bit later at One Buck Place. I just wonder if Buckner told Light and or Cutter, I'll sign that contract. You're offering me a job. I'll sign that contract. You get that SOB out of my defensive line room. So I was sort of thinking that Buckner would tell White or tell Cutter, you know, let me try to work with this guy. But apparently, it sure looks like Buckner wanted no part of it.
I guess you chalk it up to addition by subtraction, Steve. It sounds a little harsh, a little cruel. But the Bucks are moving on. They're gonna address the running back situation, and they're gonna get another defensive tackle.
It's another case of addition by subtraction, and here we are, 20 days from the free agency bell ringing. 20 days when this podcast posts on Thursday, so it's exciting. Maybe Star Lotulelei out of the Panthers. He's known as a hard worker.
There are D tackles to be had, Lee.
I was gonna say defensive ends, but you know what? The only defensive end I could see that might be available. And for Steve, you read the comments on Joe Buck's Fan like I do. For whatever reason, it seems to be an unpopular suggestion. Julius Peppers is out there. Now, I know his agent said that, he wants to stay with Carolina. I have yet to read a direct quote out of the mouth of Julius Peppers saying, I'm going to retire if I can't return to Carolina. I've yet to read that. So he's out there. Anyway.
He's not the long-term answer, but he'd be an upgrade.
11 sacks last year.
See, we're all about upgrades.
He had nearly three times as many sacks as the best defensive end the Bucks had.
A straight question, Ira. Straight question. If Julius Peppers is available.
Yes.
There you go.
Not only for his performance, because he can still bring it, like Lee said.
He might be able to nurture Loma Spence.
And he'd be nurturing.
The most impressive thing about Peppers last year is he went into the year in a part-time role. And he was good with that. And, okay, I'm coming in here part-time, rotational guy. I'll get my sacks. This is great. He had some sacks incentives. And you know what? Charles Johnson went down in Carolina. And all of a sudden, I think he was suspended with PEDs and
Johnson's
somebody else went down.
Player.
Well, anyway.
Yeah.
Peppers became a full-time guy. And you know what? He didn't miss a beat. And this guy's a freak of nature.
He's a freak of nature.
If they don't sign him, if he's available and they don't sign him, I don't know what's going on.
And he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Even if Peppers does hit the wall because of age and he falls down to six sacks, that's two more than the most sacks the Bucks had. Something's better than nothing. It's an improvement.
Bring
Pat Kerwin earlier, the same show I was listening to Kerwin on NFL radio. They were talking about the NFC South in general, and they were discussing the Falcons. And Kerwin said, if the Falcons are smart, and we know their brain trust is smart, Dimitroff, Pioli, Kerwin said, they still need a pass rush. Go get Peppers.
All right. And as far as go get Peppers, I'm going to go get Dotson.
I think bring him in here. Fans are in for a treat, baby.
And here we go. All right, Ira, as promised, a guest of honor is here, DeMar Dotson, longest tenured Buck. I know you got questions for you, Ira. You wrote stuff down, all
absolutely.
This old school stuff
Ira's
you
prepared.
Do. Go for it.
All right, first of all, we're very appreciative of DeMar coming here. And I hope he's a Buck for another 10 years for a couple of reasons. One, he's a good player. And two, and you guys all know this, and the fans should know this, he's one of our go-to guys in the locker room. You know, everybody wants to talk after a win. Everybody. Yeah. You know, after a loss, Lee, I've said this on the show, guys say, oh, let me take a shower first. You know, you come back 10 minutes later, all their stuff's gone, and they're gone. Now, DeMar is not like that. You know, for 10 years, he talks in plain English, honest, and he's always available. So, Dot, I appreciate you being here.
And you know what? Forget go-to guy. He's just a good dude. Just and you always guy. Want to see good things happen for good guys.
And he puts things in perspective. So I'm going to start right off. Here we go, Dot. And we don't warm up over here. We go right to the thing.
Right to it now. Okay.
Now, Dot, 2015, Jameis's rookie year, the running game was tremendous. Doug Martin had another big year, his second great year as a Buccaneer. But, Dot, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. The last 2 years, the ground game has struggled, even though at the end of last year started to pick up again. How responsible do you guys feel up front? Do you talk about it that, hey, we got to do a better job opening up these holes for these guys?
Yeah, Hop, and that was one of the biggest things he came to this offseason, and that he said that we did a poor job in the running game. And he even came to me personally and said, you know, that you didn't do a good job in the running game. So I think that he's going to take every run play that we ran in 2017. And when we come back in offseason, he gonna replay it, the good, the bad, the ugly, the indifference. And so, guys, because we got to do a better job. And, I mean,
across the board.
Across the board, you know. But we can only control us. I mean, we can only control the offensive line. I mean, the tight ends got to do the job. The wide receivers got to do the job. But, you know, we can only control what's in that room. And that's the thing that he want to, you know, hammer the point that, you know, we got to do – us five guys up front got to do a better job. And we just haven't did it.
And the funny part, Don, in 2015 when Martin was running wild – Marpet and Donovan Smith were rookies.
Yeah,
they were rookies.
Yeah,
and the line performed very well that year.
Yeah, I mean, and we had Logan in there.
And that year,
Goss was in there, and I mean, a lot of holes were getting opened up. You know, Doug was running his tail off, and you know, Doug's a tremendous running back. And you know, that's a guy that's going to get an opportunity to go somewhere and revise his career and do a good job. I just know it because you know he's a good running back. But, you know, it always just started with us, man. We just didn't do a good job the last 2 years. We didn't do a good job last year. And I think that, you know, all the brunt of the load goes on guys like, you know, Doug Martin. But it's the guys up front that got to open up holes. And Doug didn't have a whole lot of holes to run to. So, you know, unfortunately, he gets, you know, got to carry most of the load or the blame.
Talk about how much more effective Winston would be or any quarterback for the Bucs if you go back to 2015 where you got that kind of balance.
Yeah, the run game opened up the pass game. You know, it opened up. You can put play action. You know, when you get in third and nine or second and nine or second and ten, you know you're going to pass the ball. So, you know, when you can run the ball effectively on first down, it just opens up the whole offense and the playbook. So that's one thing we didn't do. You know, we get in second and eight, second and nine, everybody know we're passing the ball. And even though I love pass blocking, I think that's one of my strong suits, you know, but you got to be able to – differentiate a little bit to help because you got one throw the defense off a little bit.
Then they bring those packages in on third and eight, right? They bring the nickel packages in, and so you're playing to a disadvantage.
Playing to a disadvantage, you're right.
Hey, Dot, you believe this guy? He doesn't even say, how you doing, how you feeling?
Nothing, man.
You finish the season hurt. He doesn't even ask what's going on.
Yeah, how many years? See how much love I
leave that for him, man.
See how much love I got for me?
What the hell is that, Ira? How you feeling, man? How you feeling? I know you. I was still rehabbing a little bit at One Buck. How's it going?
Actually, I just got on clear today. I've been rehabbing for, you know, ever since the season been over with. That month and a half, you know, before the season was over with. So I just officially got clear today. So that's a good thing. I'm going to continue to, you know, rehab, strengthen it up, you know, do things this offseason, you know, to keep getting better with it. But, you know, I just officially got clear.
So cleared means if there was OTAs today, you'd be out there running around.
Yeah, if it was a game today, I'd be out there playing.
Nice. There you go. There you go. So let me go back, though. You said he, when you were saying he's going to break down every run play, and he told me personally I got to do better in the run game. Are you talking Coach Cutter, Coach Warhop? What are you talking
Coach Warhop. Yeah. Coach Warhop. He came to every guy individually, you know, and said that we got to do a better job in the run game. So, no, we got to take the challenge. You know, he's going to break down every single snap and show us personally that, you know, the good and the bad. And that, you know, we got to be better.
So let me go to him then. 5 years now. It's your fifth year with Coach Warhop. That's like an eternity around here in Buccaneers world with one position coach.
Yeah.
What makes him stand out to other coaches you've had? Or if a new guy around the league comes to the Bucs, like Sweezy, what is he going to say? Is he going to say Warhop stands out because of this? What makes him special?
To me, what stands out to me is the honest. You know, he's a straightforward guy. You know, he don't tell you one thing and then go back and do something else. If he look you in the face and tell you something, then that's what it is. So, you know, a guy like that, I can respect it. Because at the end of the day, it's a business, but, you know, you're still a man at the end of the day. And he's one guy, he'll look you in the face and he'll tell you the truth. You know, if you come to him and ask him what they thinking about you upstairs, he'll tell you. You know, he won't hold nothing back. And and that's the kind of person he is. So, to me, I love him. I love him as a coach. I love him as a person. You know, he's been good to me, so I got nothing but the utmost respect for him. He knows it.
That's all you can ask for, right?
That's all you can ask for. Straight up, you know. That's all you can ask for. You're right.
Go ahead, Lee.
I got a question for you, DeMars. You know, since we're talking offensive line in general. I was talking with a guy in the NFL recently, and Ali Marpet came up. And a lot of fans are kind of frustrated. They thought your coaches monkeyed with the offensive line a little bit too much. They should have kept Marpet where he was.
Yeah.
And this guy told me, he said, and he wasn't anti-Ali Marpet in any way. He was saying, I don't think people understand or realize just how complicated it is to play center. And obviously that was Allie's very first time ever playing center, high school, college, you name it. And this guy was telling me, he's like, don't exactly throw in a towel on Allie yet because that's a complicated position. Can you speak to that about how complicated it is? Maybe people don't realize that?
Well, you know, one thing about Allie, he's a tremendous, he's smart. You know, so he's a good football player, he's smart. So when Alex switched from guard to center, I think that everybody felt that it was going to be successful because the guys, one, he's a hard worker, he's a good football player, and he's smart. So it wasn't like, man, Allen can't do this. You know, I think me and Goss was talking about it before it even happened that, yeah, we think Allen going to go to center next year. So I think it's a good switch. I mean, because he's a good football player. And then it gave you an opportunity to put, you know, Sweezy in guard, you know, somewhere he's comfortable at. Because Sweezy played right guard at Seattle. So if Allen would have stayed at right guard, then Sweezy would have had to go to a position that he never played, which was left guard. So with Allen being versatile, putting him in the center, and then you can put Sweezy at a spot that he's comfortable with, it didn't allow Kevin to play. So I think that they wanted to put the best five guys. You know, and then with Allen being versatile, it allowed to do so. So,
did you see Marpet getting better as the season went on, DeMar, in that transition?
I did. He got a whole lot better. He got more comfortable. In the beginning, he was a little shaky because, you know, he had never played it before. You know, he looked shaky with the calls.
The snaps.
But, yeah, with the snaps. And as the season went on, as time went on, the guy got better and better and better. And just fortunately got hurt, you know, but the guy was getting a whole lot better.
DeMar, I was going to ask, you know, Doug Martin, obviously yesterday was his day to leave. You know, just personally, was that a hard thing for you? I mean, obviously you've seen so many guys get cut over the years. How do you deal with that? Did you call Doug? Or how does that go down?
I haven't talked to Doug yet. I think, out of the course of all the years I've been here, you kind of get, you know, used to it, you know, because you know it, you know, eventually every guy got a time. It's like death.
Except,
you know,
Ira, look at him. He's walking death over here.
Thanks, Steve.
Oh, wow, you still look good. I don't know, man. You still
know,
look good.
Look, Derek Brooks, it happens to all the great ones, too, yeah. Right? You know.
So we all got a time. So it's just unfortunate for Doug because I think he's a good football player. But, you know, a guy like that, he's going to bounce back and on his foot.
When he was struggling the past couple of years, you know, he just didn't have a couple of good years. When you're blocking, can you feel that, hey, maybe this guy doesn't have the same burst? And, you know, when you have guys like Jaquizz and Peyton Barber who are having success behind you guys, can you sort of feel that the running back isn't what he was?
Well, I think more for the offensive line, I think we were just more just thinking that, you know, we got to do better for him. You know, and we felt that if we do our part, then Doug going to do his part. So we never concern ourselves about Doug. We more concern ourselves about ourselves. And that's one thing George Warhawk, he never concerned himself about Doug. He more concerned himself about us. And that was always the focus week after week. You know, we have to do a better job. We have to do a better job. It was, things in within the season that, where the running back should have did this, running back should have did that, but sure. We can't control that. You know, it's all about, listen, we have to do our job up front. And throughout the course of the whole season, we didn't do it good enough.
A year ago, Cutter, he told me, I was in Indianapolis at the Combine, and they were asked about, how the running game kind of went backwards last year, or 2 years ago. And he said, someone was trying to pin it on the offensive line. He goes, no. He goes, that's timing. And he used a couple of examples. He said, Atlanta, the year they won in the Super Bowl, I think, they missed one start total the whole season?
Zero.
Of all their zero starts? And he said, it's consistency.
Some of the whole offensive line?
Yeah, the whole offensive line, to every game they started. And Cutter was saying, he goes, there's a sixth sense between offensive linemen and running backs that they know their timing. The running back knows when the block's going to pop open. The offensive lineman knows when the running back's going to make a move. It's like a sixth sense. They've been together for so long. They do it so often, they don't even have to think about it. And he said, it wasn't physically what was going on. It was timing. Is there something to that?
It is. I mean, the biggest thing about offensive line is continuity. And I haven't had a whole lot of continuity with a right guard, since I've been here because, I've had about six of them, And so you don't really develop that continuity because, you want to trust the guy you're playing next to, And it's just like a brotherhood. So it's not an excuse because we're all pros, we have to do our job. But it is one thing about the offensive line, the greatest thing is continuity. Be able to trust the guy you're next to, and even be able to, the center be able to trust the guard be able to trust the center, and the left guard be able to trust the left tackle. It's what you want. But, unfortunately, we ain't always had that continuity because we have, even at left guard, you got Evan switching out with Kevin. And so, Donovan Smith don't know what he got going on. One snap he got Kevin in there, one snap he got Evan in there. And them two different players.
What about that between Evans and Panfield? Were you guys getting frustrated? Like, come on, Dirk, pick somebody. I mean, you're not trying to cut anybody down, but about talking about consistency, and obviously they were rotating. It doesn't sound like it was a perfect situation.
It's not a perfect. I mean, if I was in a situation, it wouldn't be the perfect situation to be rotating every other snap or every other series. You got to come out, you get cold, and you got to come back in. It's not the best thing. But, I think neither one never, distinguished themselves, set apart. Like, no one never just, took grab of the job. And you come back next week, and Evan, did pretty good. Kevin did pretty good. So, they just kept it going. So, it's more ideal if you can just have one solid starter. But, I think no guy never just, choked hold on the position.
Dot, Buck fans are known for their patience, and ownership talks about that. Good fans.
Yeah.
Good fans. They've been through a lot. You know that. What's your message to them? Why should they believe that this team's going to turn it around? Why?
Yeah. I mean, I think, one, you got a franchise quarterback in Jameis who's, the guy want to win. And he's hungry. He's determined. And he's not a loser. And I listen, Jameis, a guy, I would go to war with that guy any day of the week. He got his guys back. We just need more guys to, have his back. When I go out there on Sunday, man, I really want to protect for the guy because I know truly, he got a lot of rah-rah with him, but it's genuine passion. I think they made a big fuss out about him eating W's, and it come out, odd and weird, but, the guy just got genuine 100% authentic passion. He might not know how to channel it yet, and channel it the right way because he's still young. But no, the guy got just so much fired up and energy. He wants to win. So I think when you have a leader like that, that's going to run this organization. I think that once they surround him with the right pieces and everything comes to unfold, this thing.
If he was fake in any regard, Dot, you guys would see right through that in a second.
I would see it right through it. It's let me tell you, it's a lot of guys that fakes it. I see them all the time. And that guy when he came in as a rookie. He was out all rah, 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 rah. And the first thing you want to do is say, man, that's not genuine. But as you watch him and as he grew on.
And put the work in.
It's genuine. It's genuine. I wouldn't respect a guy if he come in doing all that. And I wouldn't even follow a guy like that. I mean, now I'm almost 33 years old and 10 years in the NFL. you couldn't tell me nothing now if you come in and I knew you was faking it. But that guy's young, he's hungry, he's determined, and he's genuine. So I listen to him.
Did you think I was going to take off like that, eating W's? I mean, I saw a college basketball game where a guy was doing that.
Well, that's people that are looking for a weakness.
Yeah, you know. Exactly.
But I mean, you know, in popularity in a sense. And I told Steve this all the time. About a week and a half after that, eating W's, I was at home watching Stanford and Cal on a Friday night, you know, just. And Stanford guys got an interception late in the game to steal the win. And the two safeties come running off the field, chomping on their fingers. And like I said, I saw a college basketball game where a guy was doing that the other day. So, yeah. I mean, it took off like wildfire. He should have trademarked it or something. You know? Sell t-shirts.
That's the worst thing he ever does as a Buccaneer. I live with it, right?
Yeah, you're right. Go win, hey, win a Super Bowl, go to playoffs, everybody forget about it.
DeMar's fingers are too big for that. Way too big. Talking here just about this season and last season, Cameron Brayton Howard. You know, your two tight ends. You talked about the continuity of the guards next to you, but obviously you have a good feel for how those guys are blocking next to you as well. Mm. What can you say about the blocking of those two guys and specifically how O.J. Howard's blocking grew during the season?
He got better as the season went on. In the beginning, you know, I don't think he really wanted to get in and mix it up. But the one thing about the young kid, you know, he's willing to listen. He's willing to learn. He's not like no ag young kid. He's a first-round draft pick. But you can go in there and talk to him. And that's one thing I love about him. He's so humble. So, you know, with that kind of mindset, you know, he's going to be a good, tremendous football player because, you know, he's not just like, don't tell me nothing. If you tell him something, he try to do it. You know, so I love talking to the guy, and the coaches love talking to him, and he eats it up. And he's going to get tremendous better. But, you know, as the season went on, he got better and better and better in blocking. You know, in training camp, you know, even though he was trying to do it the way you asked him to do it, you know, it just wasn't fitting yet, you know, because he was a guy that just, you know, probably wasn't his mojo of blocking. But he had a desire to do it. He had a passion to do it. And as the season went on, you know, he got better than that. Cam Bray, you know, he's not that, you know, thick in the behind. But, you know, he would stick his head in there and try to mix it up with you. But, you know, like I say, he's a little lightweight.
Sure,
but,
sure.
He's not Stocker.
I was just about to mention Luke. You know, Luke really get in there and mix it up. You know, Luke was a real good run blocker.
Definitely. And as far as toward the end of the season, you know, all that John Gruden distraction and all the media nonsense, do you personally pay attention to that media stuff? Or do the guy? Are there some guys on the team who are just obsessed with that and talking about it all the time? Because it's kind of scary. It's your job. A new coach comes in, he might kick everybody out.
Yeah. I mean, you try not to pay attention to it, but it's hard because, you know, everywhere you turn, you hear. And then you got people on the street, oh, yeah, y'all going to get John Gruden? I'm like, man, how do I know?
Right.
Like, what you want me to say? So, I mean, it's hard not to hear, but you try not to pay attention to it because.
Then, he's in the stadium on the Ring of Honor. He's right there. So, that created some more stuff there.
It was a little distraction there because we were losing. And, you know, in this business, when you lose, you know, people get fired. So, it was kind of a distraction in a way. But, you know, you just try to put it back, put it behind you because at the end of the day, you got a job to do.
Doc, leadership, that word gets thrown around a lot in the locker room, chemistry. It's tough to put your hands on it. How do you feel you guys are doing in that regard with that Chris Baker incident at the end of the year in Charlotte? You know, it's all year it took. And the three of us, we're talking about Baker all year. You know, the antics and the hard knocks and this and that. And then finally, the next to last game, it comes to a head. You know, should guys have stepped in before? Should you have said something? You're witnessing all this stuff. How's the leadership in the Buck room from your perspective?
Well, that Chris Baker incident, you know, I was on injured reserve then, so I didn't actually see it, you know, personally. But, you know, you heard about it when we get back, when they got back. So I heard about it. But I think it's something that, like I say, it should have happened before. You know, I think a lot of guys didn't take, you know, losing serious. You know, it just don't hurt enough. You know, and when you wait that long to try to, you know, stop something, then it's too late.
Season's over.
Too late. You know, and I don't know, you know, what led to that point or why it happened or, you know, what Chris did. You know, I don't really know, but. I mean, at that point, I think that, you know, going into the season with the hype of Hard Knocks and all that stuff, you know, I hated Hard Knocks going into it. I think it just brought too much attention that we didn't need, we didn't deserve, we didn't do anything to deserve no hype, and people putting us in the playoff, people putting us to the Super Bowl, and we ain't won nothing. So that's what I hated the most because, you know, as a kind of semi-young team, if you're giving somebody all that hype and that praise, and they ain't really did nothing. And they can kind of go to your head a little bit. That's just human nature. So, you know, I just wish that, you know, we just, they would have just let her earn it. Let us earn it.
I think we just saw you that one time on Hard Knocks, which we won't talk about.
Yeah, over there by the bathroom, right? Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
And I'm the one who brought it up to you. Yeah, you didn't know about it.
That's the only thing they show?
I can't get no love on Hard Knocks, man. Been around here forever,
they
man.
Totally did you wrong.
And all I get is a little on peeing second on the wall, man. Yeah, come on. You should have stepped up and said, come on.
Iris got Paul, right?
Show a man Dot some love.
Oh, man. Well, they're too busy showing Baker with the tree over there. They got Baker with the tree.
Here's one for you, DeMar. And I know, you know, you were hurt and you weren't on the field, but it seemed like the team was different in December. Yeah, the losses kept coming, but, you know, you played division foes and a perennial playoff team like Green Bay close. You won one game, the last game. What changed? Was that a different team? Was it just because Jameis was healthy? What changed in that last month that you were hanging with good teams? You were right there at the end. You know, I had a chance to win at Carolina, had a chance to win with Atlanta, didn't happen, did win against New Orleans, you know, took Green Bay to overtime on the road. Your perspective, what you hear from the locker room, your teammates, your coaches, what was different in that month?
I think guys wanted to save Dirk Job. I think that was the biggest, you know, difference of it all. Guys really wanted to save their job, so they knew that, man, we're not going to the playoffs, so either we can fold it or we can finish this thing out the right way. So everybody wanted to fight for Dirk because, you know, I think everybody in that locker room, and they love Dirk. Dirk is a stand-up guy. He's a tremendous coach, you know, and we didn't want no change around here. So guys really want to finish out the season strong for him. So you can see it. You can see the way guys fall. You can see the way guys practice. You can see the way guys prepare. You see the way guys went out there on the field. You know, we're still losing football game, but it wasn't like we was getting blown out by, you know, 20 points. I remember, you know, years ago when Raheem was here, you know, we was losing by 20 points. Right. When we was getting blown out, right. It was embarrassing.
And at halftime.
At halftime, you know, it was embarrassing. It was almost like the whole team quit.
Mm-hmm. Well, you brought up, you know, Gruden a little bit ago and rumors and things of that nature. Oddly enough, when the rumors really started heating up, that's when the Bucs started playing better.
Yeah. Because you knew Cutter's job was on the line, right? Everybody knew.
No doubt.
Yeah. It's the NFL. Yeah. Everybody's job's on the line.
Everybody's job on the line.
You're cheerleaders right. Too. Yeah, they get out of sync and they're gone.
When did you or when did the team kind of get the sense like, oh boy, we aren't getting out of this ditch. We dug ourselves too big of a hole. Was there a game or that you saw it turning or that it turned that there was no point of return? Whether it be the Patriots game where you had them at the end, it didn't get a job done, or was there any point in the season like we're not going to climb out of this hole?
Yeah, I don't know if it was a particular game or a particular point in the season where we said that, you know, this season over with. But I think as the losses start piling up, and once we got, you know, officially eliminated from the playoffs, you know, I knew that we wasn't going to playoffs no more. So now it's just playing for pride. Mm-hmm. And then you start hearing all the rumors that, you know, Dirk might get fired and this and that. So, you know, guys really took it up on their shoulders, just like I said, you know, the fight for Dirk. Because what else you got? I mean, you're fighting for your job. You're fighting for your pride. You know, guys fighting for contract. But at the ultimate thing, you know, you're fighting for your leader. And that's what guys wouldn't do. So it just shows the kind of character that we got in the locker room.
All right, Dot, we appreciate you sitting in on the Iris Podcast. Now, we're taping here, thanks to Leroy Selmans, where everybody seems to know you here. They walk in, it's like a
celebrity.
Shouldn't they bring a plate of food in front of him right now? You
know? Appetizers.
Calm down. Don't be picking off his plate.
Calm down.
But we're going to be doing two more segments that we'll hear in the summer or in the spring when things are a little slower, a little bit more about you. But I got to squeeze one more in because you mentioned it and it was too interesting. You know, you mentioned like rookies who give you attitude sometimes and Howard's not that guy. And you mentioned there are leadership types who can be fake, not like Jameis, who is real. Is it fair to say that every year on every NFL team, there's a couple of jokers who either rookies who are wise guys or just veterans who are going through the motions? Is it like that on every team?
I don't know about every team, but I mean, over all the years that I've been here, and year after year, you see it. I see it. I've seen a ton of time. You see rookies that you just know ain't going to make it.
Ain't going to make
it.
You
just know it. And you see a lot of veterans who are high-priced guys coming here and just know not going to make it. I mean, guys come in with the wrong attitude. I see it year after year, year after year. And I don't know how many times I've seen, but you just know it.
Even in OTAs. Even in OTAs, right?
Especially in OTAs.
I mean, that's when you can see it. I mean, it has an OTAs training camp. You know, this guy just got the wrong mentality. And that mentality gets you put out real quick.
Yeah, it's hard when you bring in 90 guys. You're going to have some clunkers, yeah. I guess. But it's interesting to hear it from you. All right, hey, we're so glad you're healthy. And have a good spring, good summer.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Ira, fantastic interview that we can chew on at a later time. I'm really glad we got a chance to present that. Damar Dotson there, fantastic stuff. EdmoresCadillacTampa.com, EdmoresCadillacBrandon.com. That's where you want to go. You've got all the opportunities there. For those are Hillsborough County's only Cadillac dealerships. And Ira, we're going to be taping on Monday. Our next podcast, at least, will still be in town on Monday. So we've got a full throttle on Tuesday coming up next. Subscribe, iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, Sage.
We'd love to get some feedback on the Dotson interview, Steve. It would be much appreciated.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll see some feedback. And you know, maybe we'll read some of it if you want to leave some comments at iTunes or right under the podcast posting at JoeBucksFan.com or Twitter, Ira, at iCalfman76. Once in a while, he looks at Twitter. And
who's got a more knowledgeable perspective on the Buck organization as a player than Damar Dotson? Who?
Now, it's great perspective, and I wish we could share all the stuff he told us when the microphones were off, but that's damn it, we can't do that. All right, now we've got more from Dotson coming up. We'll use in the spring and in the summer some very different topics that we touched on, some historical, some personal. So it's going to be some fun stuff.
And next week we dispatch Mr. DeKemper to Indianapolis, Stephen.
Yeah, but he'll be here on the podcast on Tuesday. So nobody's going anywhere, Sage. All right, drive safe. I won't be driving you, so you'll be fine.
You got it.